Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. I am Coach Myrna Young, and today it's going to be just you and me. I was impelled today by the movement of God to talk to you on something that my pastor stirred up inside of me. So today we're going to be talking about systemic injustice. And I'm recording this episode just a few hours after church today because I wanted it to be fresh. I wanted it to be real. Now, you're not going to be hearing it, you know, for a couple of days or so, but I'm recording it and I'm answering the call to do something or become involved because I've been sitting on the sidelines. So, you know, from the moment I started worshiping today in church, I mean, I'm not sure why, but I was plugged in. You know, I felt reverence. I was reminded from where I have come from for some unknown reason, because God has brought me a mighty long way. As I share my story with you a little later, I know that you will agree. So from the praise and worship, I was plugged in, I was connected, I felt the presence of God. So when the pastor started speaking, I was already prepped. You know, he started off by saying that, and my pastor, by the way, is Dr. Apostle William L. Glover from Mount Hermon Ministries in Fort Myers. And God has put me under Dr. Glover because he is really the one that's responsible for my spiritual growth. And I know, again, I'm going to talk about a lot of things that I know today. And I know, again, that God put me to glean from him because, you know, he talks to me through him. And the name of my company, My Helps, the name of my book, Out of the Snares, everything was given to me while I was in church and under the presence of God. And I know that I'm gleaming a lot from Apostle Glover because I happened to flip the channel one day and he was preaching and God told me to go look for his church. So I've always been directed. So today was no different, but today, you know, it stirred up my heart, something that was put there before, but has been laid dormant. And like anything, there's always a fire starter. And today that, you know, pastor was my fire starter. So pastor started off today talking about the fact that he was going to teach on the difference between personal evil and systemic evil. He explained that the evil we do personally is usually between ourselves and God. You know, for example, the husband who is committing adultery is hurting himself and his wife, but it really doesn't affect his neighbor. You know, the neighbor doesn't care. The neighbor is not affected in any way, nor is the city or the community or the world. It's just between him and God. But then there is something called systemic evil or systemic injustice. And that's the kind that affects entire nations, cities, certain races of people. And, you know, Pastor Glover gave this analogy that I'm going to repeat because it's a good one. He said that let's say a farmer got inspired to get him a slave or slaves, because he realized that, you know, if he gets a slave, you know, it's cheap labor or no labor. You just pay, what, $90 or something for a slave and you work it until, you know, you get everything out of it. So he decided that he was going to get him a slave to help with his farm. And he started turning a profit because now he doesn't have to pay for labor, right? His labor costs are low. But then the farmer in the next town decides that if he needs to compete, then he also needs to get him a few slaves to bring his labor costs down. You know, and soon all the farmers have them some slaves, and then, you know, they petition the courts and the court make a law, and the law considers that slaves are now property, right? And it's legal to own slaves as your property, the same way that you purchase your equipment to till the fields. You know, it's your property, right? Now, these farmers feel that there's no sin in treating men and women as slaves and property because it's legal. You know, these slave owners probably go to church and tithe on the profit from their plantation and probably feel high and mighty because they feel that they're doing the right thing, right? Slavery is legal, right? They're tithing on their profits, right? So the system and the laws that says it's okay to treat Negroes, what they called us, like you treat your animals, and that's why that becomes systemic. Now it's not only between the plantation owner and his slave, it's the whole city, the whole of the southern part of the United States that, you know, have slaves. So that to me was an excellent analogy of the difference between, you know, personal injustice, right? I like the word evil, and systemic injustice or evil, right? So Pastor went on to share several scriptures about how Jesus felt about injustice, because Jesus talked about injustice, you know, several times in the Bible. And, you know, his message is that you should treat strangers or aliens the same as you treat the citizens once they're abiding by the laws of the land. So we look at our immigration system now and, you know, we are deporting people that are willing to abide by the laws of the land. They're willing to pay taxes. They're willing to not to commit any crimes. They're willing to, you know, we don't have any specific religion that they have to be. But I'm pretty sure if we said to them, hey, you know, you've got to pick up this kind of religion, they probably will, because they want to live in the land of the United States. But he finished his message today talking about the current immigration climate in America. You know, the Trump administration no-tolerance immigration policy. And he shared two stories, one that I was familiar with and the other one that he witnessed personally. You know, the first one that we're going to talk about is the one where he said that he was in court and was listening to a case in which a young man from Mexico who was living in the United States for over 20 years. He had committed a crime and was put on probation. So when he completed his probation, he received a letter stating that he had completed the probation and he was no longer on probation. Now he decided, you know, since he's no longer on probation, he decided to move out of the state of Florida to Minnesota to be near his family. And while he was in Minnesota, you know, he got married, he had three children, he had a good paying job, making over $60,000 per year. But somehow, something got, you know, into translation. You know, his criminal case was settled, you know, because he completed his probation, but his immigration case was not. And the fact that he left the state without getting approval, apparently that's a bad thing. And, you know, the immigration authorities, ICE, as we called them, tracked him down, arrested him for leaving the state. And, you know, this is where the pastor said he was in the court as this man was pleading his case. He was pleading to the judge, stating that it was an honest mistake, that he didn't understand that the fact that he got a letter, he showed the judge the letter that said that he was, you know, no longer in probation. He wasn't aware that he couldn't leave the state. But his pleas fell on deaf ears. His punishment, because he had committed an offense. And under this zero tolerance law, he needed to be deported. So this young man was sent back to Mexico. And then he talked about a case that was all over the news, and I'm pretty sure, unless you've been in Iraq, you've heard it. This is a woman who came into the country illegally about 20 years ago. She married an American. They had two beautiful daughters. Her husband is a veteran. He served three tours in the Army. Yet, the news media was at the airport as she was being deported back to Mexico. Apparently, ICE arrested her from a routine traffic stop and, you know, put her in trial for being an undocumented alien. According to her, she spent over $20,000 in legal fees, but to no avail. The law said that she committed an offense, and the law says that her punishment was deportation. Separation from her husband and family and the country that she's called home for 20 years. Now, I saw this woman in the news. I saw her daughter curse out President Trump. I know she cursed because the networks bleeped her. I saw her crying, and everybody was outraged that, you know, the wife of a veteran can be deported. And that's because the systemic law doesn't have humanity in it, right? So I looked at her story and I asked my husband, I said, I don't get it. You know, if she's been married for so long, why didn't her husband sponsor her? And I asked him, I says, is there something that prevents, if you're undocumented, that prevents your husband from sponsoring you or your wife from sponsoring you? And of course he didn't know. And that's about all I thought of it. But then today something different happened. You know, when I heard this story in the presence of God today, I identified, I empathized, I felt her pain. I was transported back to my story, and I was grateful to the core of my being that my story turned out differently. And I wondered why. Why was I given favor? What did God want me to do? Then I received my answer. God wanted me to use my platform to help others. I have an audience on radio. I have an audience as the number one iTunes podcast. I have an audience on my blog that has over 150,000 hits so far this year. I have an audience on the monthly newspaper column that I write. I have an audience on my best-selling book called Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement. God has given me a platform. God has given me a purpose, and that is to help by offering hope and encouragement. How do I know this? Now, this is my story. All right. I was born in a systematic, poor country in Guyana. When I was born, the white people were exploiting our country, taking all the resources out of the country. The only jobs for the poor women were domestic servants, cleaning houses for the white foreigners. I'm not sure what the men did. But both my mom and grandmother were domestic servants. And because we were poor, My mom accepted help from a friend who was wealthy. He would give her free housing at one of his numerous rental properties. When I was born, she made him my godfather, and he showered me with gifts and attention. But from the age of about 5, he started making his attention more intimate. At 10, he took my virginity. This went on until I was about 13 years old and in high school and started liking boys. And then I realized something. I was not like other girls. Other girls are 13 years old or their first boyfriend is the person that they had sex with. And here I was, not a virgin anymore. And that changed me. Now, you can read my full story on this in my book called Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, available on Amazon. But from the start, I had a platform. From the start, God was using me to do something great by having me come through something that, I can share with other people because I've walked in those shoes, right? So my first platform is I was born in poverty and I was sexually molested as a child, right? So let's fast forward about 30 years. I am now a successful entrepreneur. I am an owner-operator of a successful limousine service in Toronto, Canada. I decided to apply for an H-N-1 visa and bring my limo service to Miami, Florida. So I get to Miami and realize that without a social security number, you can't do nothing in this country. everything that I wanted to do, you need a social security number. You all know it, right? And that's why it's so incredibly difficult for an undocumented person, because if you're undocumented, you don't have a social security number, right? You're like invisible. So I told myself, hey, I need to get married. Now, I was dating this guy, not for very long, but I always act on my impulses. I'm not one of these people that think about it forever and ever and ever. I'm a doer. So I said to him, hey, you want to get married? And he said, yes. And he was quite honored. Now, I'm not hard on the eyes. I'm a beautiful, long-legged. I got a nice smile. I got a great personality. And I'm a successful businesswoman. So who wants to marry me, huh? He was honored to be asked. So we got married. I submitted my first application for citizenship or permanent residence and got my social security number. Yay! So the first thing he had to ask is, hey, why don't you take that brand new social security number and get me a $50,000 Lincoln Navigator? So I says, okay. Now, after I purchased the vehicle, I realized that he had no intention of paying for it. I also found out at the same time that he was involved in a few scams. So I bailed in that marriage within 6 months because, I said to myself, as much as I wanted to be American, I don't want to be hooked up to a criminal because I don't want them to say it's him and his wife was doing this. And I couldn't do jail. That was where I draw the line. That was my boundary. So I filed for divorce and abandoned my application for permanent residence. I had my social security number. I continued to work. And I did not return to Canada, which is what I was supposed to do. Then my next boyfriend came along and offered to marry me. And I said, sure. I filed my application again. It took about 2 years for my interview. By this time, my marriage was on the rocks. We went to that interview unprepared. Let me mention right now that I did the application paperwork for both applications myself. I described this event in my book as walking into an ant's nest. I will add here that it was an irritated ant's nest, the ones that are biting you, the ones that are running all over your bike. Think about that, right? This woman met me and my husband, and she didn't offer any pleasantries like, good morning, how are you? She just said to my husband, I will talk to you first. And she disappeared with him for over 2 hours. Then she came back for me and questioned me another 2 hours. And then I was let go. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I says, oh my God, am I going to be deported? I was scared. Nothing came in the mail. Nothing. So I figure, all right, so the application was denied. I never received anything formal in the mail. I didn't realize until my next application, yes, I am a sucker for punishment, that the immigration officer had threatened my husband with a $250,000 fine and jail for a fraudulent marriage, and the sucker withdrew the application and never said a word to me. Before my marriage ended, I met my current husband, and when I told him about my situation, he proposed. Now, you're probably saying, what's up with this woman? Why is she getting all these proposals? Is her honeypot lined with gold or something? I don't know. All I can say that when you're in purpose, God will open doors for you that no man can shut. And what is for you will be for you. I married my husband and applied for the third time. I knew that if this woman felt that I'm marrying men to get my American citizenship after two tries, that they were going through the kitchen sink at me this third try. But God had put me through a border crossing situation that infused me with courage. I tell you something, when you look the lion straight in the face and you've conquered him, from then on, you are bold. Think about David and Goliath. After he knocked off that head off of Goliath, I am positive that anybody wanted to pick a fight with him from then on, he would say, bring it on, because he had confidence. And when I went through that border crossing and I had to sum up all the courage in the world to go through that, I now was courageous. I now adopted the scripture, be very courageous, right, out of Joshua. So I was walking in courage. So yeah, I tried a third time after that horrible second interview. But I had to, right? Anyway, read about this event in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, and I will actually share with you a little later. But one of the things that gave me courage is because before I found out what my purpose was, I knew that I needed to have generational increase. Children was poor, I was born poor, and I felt that I needed to give my children more than I was born with. And to me, generational increase was in the United States of America. The same way that these families come over the border right now with their children, they're doing it because they want their children to have a better life than they had. And that's why they bring them. That's why sometimes they send them and they stay behind, because they want them to have a better life. So one of the reasons I was going through all this is because I wanted to have a better life for my son and my daughter. My daughter was going through, when she was, when I was going through all these applications, she was in public school. And when you're in public school, you don't have to show any papers, which is one of the good things. Probably Trump might change that. But right now, if you are in public school, you only have to show a lease or prove where you live, and they don't ask for any documentation. But when you go to college, you've got to show documentation. So my courage was also forced because of the fact that my daughter is now starting college and she needs to be documented. So I decided that I was going to jump right in. Now, I should say that you can go to, you know, college or university, but if you don't have your papers, it's just like coming from France or something. They charge you an exorbitant out-of-state or out-of-country fees, which is like triple the normal amount, right? We couldn't afford it. So I applied, waited to be called up for an interview. I went for the interview, you know, just holding on to God all this time because I know that the only way I can pull this off is with supernatural power. I knew it, right? So I got into her first interview and was told that my current application was not even being looked at because my last application was flagged as fraudulent. And apparently, if you are being tagged as being involved in a fraudulent marriage, then you can never have another application again. So I said to the officer right away, I said, listen here, guys, there is nothing fraudulent about marriage. We can prove that we lived together for 2 years. And I don't know what your information is telling you, but there is nothing fraudulent about my marriage. I says, well, why did you guys feel that it was fraudulent? She looked up the paperwork and said that we missed 11 questions out of a total of 150. Told you, they questioned him for 2 hours and they questioned me for 2 hours too. And then they put all the things together. But I also found out then and only then that my no guts ex-husband caved under the pressure. And when he was threatened with going to jail or a $250,000 fine, he caved in and withdrew his application. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you listening have seen the movie Proposal, which is about the Sandra Bullock played a Canadian that was going to be deported, and she, you know, decided to have her her secretary marry her. And the immigration officer was there threatening him all along. And he just stayed from it. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. We're in love and da da da. I'm thinking, good for him. Even when his father tried to say, you're going to go to jail, take the deal, he said, nope, I love her and I'm going to marry her. And that was a fake marriage. And he stood his ground. But my no-guts ex-husband was scared and bailed. So that's why they didn't send me anything in the mail, because the application was withdrawn, not denied. So I said, well, you guys are going to have to, prove to me that you know without a shadow of doubt that my second marriage was fraudulent. So they sent my file away to someone else. And 2 years later, I received a call for another interview. And this time I prayed up. I even asked my pastor, Apostle Glover, to write me a letter covering me under God's grace. I pulled out all the stops. I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. And when I got there, God was there before me. This officer was a gem. He was friendly. He was nice. He didn't do a fraud interview. He talked to my husband for about 20 minutes. And actually, when my husband came out, he said, they talk about football or something, you know, nothing about who slept on which side of the bed, you know, who proposed to who, where were you at when you got proposed, what time did you come home last night, what time those type of things. None of those type of questions, right? They just talked. And then he called me in and he talked to me about 10 minutes or so. And then he kept asking me about the time I left the country without advance parole and was denied entry back in the United States. And I told you before that I had gained courage from a border entry. Well, let me tell you about it now. Again, one of the stupidest things that turned out to be a lifesaver. And when you go through life, you're going to look back at things that you thought that were going to kill you and realize that is what made you strong or what God was using to build something in you. And like I told you, I got courage out of this one, but also saved my ass, right? So during my second application, you know, to the gutless husband, the one that bailed on me at the interview, after I did the application, because this was my second one, so I knew what to do, right? But somehow, I didn't do it. I knew that in order to leave the country, that you need something called an advance parole. Now, I don't know what made me think that I didn't need it this time, but I left the country, went to my brother's wedding, and came back 4 days later to the border, and the people said, well, where is your advance parole documentation? I says, well, I didn't get one. Well, they said, well, hey, sorry to tell you that if you left the country without an advance parole document, then you have officially abandoned your application, and now you can't return into the United States as a visitor any longer, because as a Canadian, I was able to come through all the time. But now you have an application pending. You are now gone into a different category, and you got to stay in Canada and start your application process all over again, which is an average of 2 years. So that was one of the worst days of my life, I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt. I've never been through anything more painful, because it was also the stupidest thing that I ever did, right? And I had to drag my daughter back with me. She was also denied entry as well, even though she didn't have a current application. Again, you know, people can just screw with you. She was denied entry, I was denied entry, and we were told to stay in Canada. Now, my marriage was on the rocks. There's no way it's going to survive another 2 years. There's no way my husband was going to do another application for me. I went to Toronto for 4 days or so and tried everything. I even tried calling the mayor. I even tried calling everybody that I thought that can help me. Nobody can help me. Then I decided that I was going to be brave. I decided that I was going to rent a car, and I was going to drive over that border, and I was going to look the border patrol in the eye, and I was going to tell him that I'm going to the airport to pick up my husband. Now, I knew that if he pulled me over because he suspected something, I was done. When they turned me away, they said that if I went to another border crossing and tried to come over and I get caught, it was going to be a ban for 10 years. I wouldn't be able to come back into the United States. But, you know, the people that put their kids in a boat in shark-infested waters, I can understand. When you're desperate, you do desperate things. And I decided I had a good job in Florida. My daughter was in school. You know, I had an interview that I needed to go to in a couple weeks. I'm not starting all over again. So I put on red panties and I drove to that immigration window and I told the guy, and I would have won Best Actress because he believed me and waved me through. I tell you, when I passed that, I went to the nearest gas station, came out and praised God loudly in public, because I know that he is the one that got me through. But anyway, so I'm at this interview now, and the guy keeps talking to me about this. So when did you leave the country and was denied entry back into the United States? You know, would you sign something that says that? And I knew right away, you know, I was without a lawyer, couldn't afford one, but I knew that something was up, but I also liked it because I knew that if you went to the fraudulent second marriage scenario, I was done. So if you wanted to talk about the time I left the country and was denied entry and all that, it's fine. So he had me sign something. And I left there and I thought, oh, well, I wonder what that's about. A couple days later, I received a letter in the mail that says that my application was denied, but that if my husband wanted to write a hardship application saying that if we were to be separated, what kind of hardship that he would be under. And I decided at this point in time, since I am not an attorney and I can't do any hardship briefs, that I was going to try to get help from an attorney. I contacted several immigration attorneys who said that they would charge me $6,000, but they could not guarantee that they would win because Homeland Security does not grant hardship requests unless they feel that you can prove that when you return to your birth country, that you're going to be killed, like if you're part of, you know, some kind of coup or something, or you had a medical condition where you can only get treatment in the United States. Now, neither was my case, right? But again, I was brave, right? So I went to work. I researched all the cases because, you know, when you're a lawyer, you've got to prove prior cases of how it worked out or whatever. So I researched it. I presented my brief of hardship. I submitted my own. And guess what? I won the case. I will tell you, my immigration story has been the most thrilling and the most devastating things that's happened to me in my life. When I got that call, I was driving and it was a number that I did not recognize, so I didn't answer it. And when I picked up the voicemail and I heard the guy says, hey, you presented some good arguments. It was the same officer. I call him Gillian in my book that interviewed me before. The same one that read my hardship application. And he said, you presented some good arguments. So your application has been approved. You and your daughter's application has been approved. I stopped my car in the middle of the road and I wept. It was the happiest day of my life so far. So that was my story. So in church today, one of the reasons I couldn't stop weeping is because now I'm able to put myself in that woman's story. That woman that after being in this country for 20 years, having two kids, married, and she's been deported. And I think what they're deciding to do is one of the girls would go with the mom and the other one will stay here with the father. I understood. So then I said to myself, like, why again did God help me? Why was my story different? All right. Why, why did God have me walk in those shoes? So I decided that nothing that God does is without a reason or without a purpose, right? And you all know that before you were born in your mother's womb, that your path was already set out for you. And when you're on your path, you know, circumstances and things happen to put you in the right place. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get involved. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Your basement walls play a critical role in supporting your property's structure and protecting your home from the outside elements. Waterproofing your basement prevents the accumulation of water from rain that can lead to flooding, mold, and mildew growth around and under your floors. If left unaddressed for long, your property may be at risk for serious structural damage that will negatively affect its resale value. So, don't delay. Call Timothy today at 404-449-5467. TY Waterproofing has over 30 years experience in waterproofing basements. TY Waterproofing will waterproof and repair your basements, your crawl spaces, slabs, remove and kill the mold that accumulates from dampness, install. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind, the Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are talking about systemic injustice. On the first segment, I told you of my story. I told you of a couple of stories of people that we feel, I feel, my pastor feel, and a lot of you feel that have been given a gross injustice because they want to come to this country of America, the country of opportunity, the country that is gearing towards the fact that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, the country that does not want to be inclusive, that wants to separate based on race, based on several different injustices. Right now, the one that I can help in is the immigration one, because I've been through it. I've walked in the story. I've walked in the shoes. My outcome was a good one. So now I feel that I need to get back. I need to get back. So let's ask the question again. Now, I don't know. If someone knows of this person and want to have her contact me, I would love to interview her on the show. But my first question was, why didn't she apply for citizenship or even permanent residence, right? After being married to a vet and having grown kids. You know, I saw one of the kids, she was a teenager. So what was the reason? And the reason a lot of people don't do anything comes down to either fear or lack of knowledge. So let's talk about the fear one for a minute, right? I was there. I used to dream that the immigration police would knock on my door in the middle of the night and arrest me, put me in handcuffs, and throw me in the trunk of a car. I think I watched too much movies. But fear is false evidence appearing real. So if you're illegal and you fall in love and you can get your husband to sponsor you, if you're already in the country, you don't have to leave while your application is pending. Be prepared for the fraud interview, but you have nothing to fear if you're legitimately married and living together. And even if you have to leave the country for a few years, it is better than living in fear for 20. Fear affects your immune system and make you a magnet for infectious diseases because it activates your fight or flight response. So it's not good for you. It's how cancer and a lot of those things are formed, right? So the second one is knowledge. Maybe she didn't know how to complete her 485 application to adjust permanent residence, and she had no money for a lawyer. Now, this is where I can help. In fact, when I named my company My Helps, is exactly what I wanted to do. I knew from the outset that my story, or the fact that I was able to win means that I can help other people. So when I first started my business called My Helps, I had, guides that I would sell on my website, and I would have interview preparation things that I would sell on my website. But then I branched off and went into life coaching and went into the radio program, and I didn't do it anymore. But of all things, this morning, I was looking at about 20 books that I have nicely bound, which is a guide for a 485 application. And I was going to throw them out because they've been sticking around here for, 8 years, whatever. And then I said to myself, well, no, I shouldn't throw these out. Maybe I should take them and put them in the library or put them somewhere where I know that there's immigrants. And then I go to church, and then I get a reason to use them. So this is basically what I will do. Now, I created this guide, and I will mail it to anyone that needs to apply for their permanent residence. The guide tells you all the forms that you need, detailed instructions by line, what to put in there, and how to put together your package. If your marriage occurs inside the United States, there's different forms. If your marriage occurred outside of the United States and you want to bring your spouse, your new spouse in, there's also some different forms. So the guide teaches you how to fill out the I-485 form, which is the application for permanent residence, the main form. The I-130 form, which is the form that gives your background information and your family information. The I-765 form, which is your application to work, right? Then your form I-31, it also gives you information about your advanced parole letter, because these applications now are taking longer and longer. And like my situation, you don't leave the country if you don't have to, because it's too nerve-wracking, especially now, right? But if you have to, go for a funeral or whatever, and you need to leave, then you need an advanced parole letter in order to leave. Then you've got your form 864, your form 693, which is your medical form, right? So they're all in there, copies of these forms and instructions of how to fill them up. And my gift to you would be not only the free guide, but also shipping to you free of charge, because it's in a book form, right? Now, for people that are maybe out of the country and you want to email me, I can send you a PDF by email. My email is info@myhelps.us. And all I ask is, I spend a lot of time doing this radio program and podcast, and I do it all for free. And the only thing I ask you guys is to subscribe and rate and review the podcast so that it keeps getting higher in the rankings. And when it gets higher in the rankings, that means that more people will be able to get the information that I give. So for anyone listening that who wants to join into the fight for justice and want to join me either as a sponsor or give a free service, immigration service, also send me an email to info@myhelps.us. Now, if you go to my blog, which is blog@myhelps.us, and that is myhelps.us, I'm going to be starting to put some immigration services on there as well. Right, and I might even put a link on there for you to download this guide for free. Right now, you can send this to anyone that you feel that will be able to benefit from this. There's millions of undocumented aliens. So, if you're in a position that you can apply, then you should apply and not be scared. Someone can sponsor you. If it's not a spouse, then it could be your parents or brothers and sisters or something like that. Now, my application or my guide is only for marriage, because that's what I know, right? But, I'd still be able to help you if you have a question, Again, you can email me, you can leave a comment on my blog, but you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, right? So, as we wrap up, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for allowing me to share my story, allowing me this platform that I can give back the things that I know. You know, I know mindset. I know that in order for you to change, you've got to change your mindset, right? So today we're talking about the systemic injustice mindset, right? Anything that, you know, suppresses a whole community is an injustice. If it's not lifting you up, if it's tearing you down, is an injustice. And if the laws are what's doing that to you, which means it's systemic, and the people that are writing the laws, they're not writing it for your benefit. They're writing it for their benefit. So we can all get together and do something about it, because votes are what put people in power, and votes can take them out. All right. So thank you again for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. Until next time, namaste.